No, I'm not getting in trouble. I'm not getting in trouble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 136 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I'm only one who will be burning up on the inside for this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your chlamydia, but let's move on as fast as we can. This week's guest is the fantastic front person, singer-songwriter from As Everything Unfolds, the wonderful Charlie Rolfe.
Yes. So one of the things I love about doing this podcast is the different viewpoints and experiences we have from our guests. Like just in recent weeks.
I thought it was all the money that we make.
Shh, man. Don't tell him that. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/slapnin. No, but just in recent weeks, we've picked the brains of music legends like The Offspring, Bullet for My Valentine, Andy Copping, the boss of Download Festival. But we're also lucky enough to capture the raw excitement from bands who are experiencing breakthrough success for the first time. And that's exactly what's going on right now with As Everything Unfolds. The six-piece have paid their dues since a young age, playing every small bar imaginable before cementing themselves as one of the UK's new alternative starlights, with so much attention from the release of their debut studio album Within Each Lies the Other. Both myself and Sean have gotten to know Charlie a little bit online over these last few months and just had to invite her on to discuss the endless list of magical moments they are creating. We got to see them live at Download Festival Pilot just a couple of weeks ago, killing it to a packed tent. And I could tell, Sean, you were feeling a little bit proud.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, to say that everything they've got is because of me is an understatement. No, it was, like you said, like we'd been talking back and forth for a couple of weeks, even prior to this interview, and like we recorded this interview, I think it was like a week before the Download thing as well. So yeah, I just got to see them come up and I've loved watching their journey. Yeah, I'm a fan of the songs. Yeah, everything about them. And then, yeah, of course, we got to speak to them just before they went on at the Download Festival. And got to part some of my, would people call it knowledge?
Oh, I don't know. Do's and don'ts? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Don't do anything I ever did. That was it. No, we saw them just before Download, before they went on stage. And they were a little bit nervous. And they asked a few questions. And I tried to fill them in where possible. And they went on and fucking smashed it. So that, yeah, they should be absolutely fucking chuffed. I know they are. They gotta be. It was fucking class. And it was nice to meet everybody in the band as well, because then I saw them after the show as well and congratulated them, and they all seemed fucking chuffed with it. So hopefully they were. They're a fantastic band. I strongly recommend you check them out now. Check out On The Inside. That's one of my jams at the moment. But yeah, I nearly said kids then. I'm getting old. I am definitely getting old. Because I nearly said, what a lovely bunch of kids. Bloody, yeah, they're all right. These bloody rascals coming up. copying what are you doing at? No. They're fucking lovely. They're absolutely lovely humans. And congratulations to them so far on the success. It's only going to get bigger, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, that set was one of my favourites from Download, and Charlie has got some impressive kicks as part of her stage setup. I think she must be a trained ninja, but keeping it on the down low, maybe. I don't know. But just to let you know, we did record this slightly before Download's festival, so you'll hear excitement for the pilot being announced for 2022's lineup already, and we're going to get into everything from the band's DNA to dealing with more fame and success, the stupid amount of strange internet comments Charlie receives, her personal lyric and vocal secrets, and a bunch of incredible stories, including ending up in hospital in Sweden, and something that her and Sean have in common.
Oh my god, I forgot what that was. If it's a 2-inch penis, I think both of us are going to be very, very upset.
Fucking hell, wow.
But yeah, thank you very much to Charlie for giving us the time. Thank you very much to As Everything Unfolds as a unit for giving us music and a fantastic experience to watch live. It was, again, it was awesome. And that old Download weekend, go back and listen to our Download episode, because it's fucking chaos. It's such a good laugh. And we got to speak to some of our favourite bands. And posted on my Instagram story about it today, at Sean Smith Sucks. Morgan's is at MHRichards_, if you want to follow either of us. I posted on my story today about our Neck Deep conversation.
Mm-hmm.
A third instalment, and the next one's going to be called Neck Deepest, and we go even deeper with them. And Matthew from the band posted saying, I know we've just done one, but let's do another full one again soon. So yeah, even, you know, not we don't just love these fucking, these chats.
Yeah.
The people involved, the bands involved love these chats as well. So yeah, check out last week's Download episode. Before that, we had Andy Coppin. Just check out everything we've ever done, for God's sake.
That's true. We do like a little bit of funny content. We try and make these podcasts as enjoyable as possible. But before we get into this lovely conversation with Charlie, a reminder, like we have to say every week, because it helps us so bloody much, please go over and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, because it helps not only the podcast run each and every week, but we're trying to save up for some new gear. There's loads of bonus material on there, some extra conversations from Download that we haven't shared on the podcast platform, and you get to become a member of our wonderful community of people that are just absolutely awesome.
Yeah, this week we've put up our quick behind the scenes chat with Toby from Trashboat, and we're hopefully going to do a big long one with him soon. Hey, big long one. I don't know what I said there. So yeah, check out like Morgan said, check out patreon.com/sapnin. It all goes back into keeping us alive, which ultimately means this podcast can happen each and every week. Also, if you've listened to a bunch of episodes and want to let us know your thoughts, please get in touch with us at sapninpod on Instagram and Twitter. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. And let us know your thoughts.
Yes, please. We love hearing messages from you. We love your feedback. And we love just seeing what you've laughed at, what you thought, and your feelings toward everything Sapnin podcast. And there's going to be a lot of interesting feelings in this episode. So without any further ado, this is the wonderful Charlie Rolfe from As Everything Unfolds, episode 136 of Sapnin podcast.
Yeah, nice one. Sapnin!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin! Yes!
Lovely yes, stuff.
This week's guest is Charlie Rolfe of The Fantastic As Everything Unfolds. How are you?
I'm good. It is fucking roasting, I'll be honest with you. I shouldn't...
Very warm.
I'm English, I have to moan.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fair. The same you. We don't get it very often, and when it does, we're like, oh, this big orange thing in the sky is doing my head in. Get it away. I did it as usual, but... but yeah, well, leading up to this summer, you seem to have had a very, very busy time.
It's just insane. I mean, like, we've kind of gone from sort of, you know, being some small town little band, like, who released an EP a couple of years ago and kind of just playing local venues and playing to empty rooms in Sheffield and various things. And all of a sudden just we're having just crazy things happening. And I can't keep up. Even I'm just like, our manager's like messaging us like, oh yeah, like this is happening. I'm like, just send me a list of what I need to do and I'll do it. Just, it's just so insane. And I'm so, so grateful because I've been doing this for a while. And I think people think we've appeared out of nowhere, but we've been doing this since... We've been together as a group for probably about 10 years, but not been going officially properly from like 2018 is kind of when we like properly started touring and stuff like that. So yeah, long time.
Yeah.
Can you describe like the things that like started this year off that like started the snowball going? Like what was the first thing that you had? Like the first text where it was like, oh, here we go.
We kind of, before all this happened, like we were recording our album, we recorded it nearly 2 years ago now, sort of at the beginning of the before the first lockdown happened, we pretty much got in. And this was before we were signed, we just sort of went, do you know what, we've got all this material, let's just fucking record it. And we went to a guy called Oz Craggs, I don't know if you know, you probably know who he is, Feed the Rhino, produced with him, he's such a babe, I love him. And we got approached by a record label and we were kind of like, oh, okay, this seems all right, you know, and we changed management, we got who our current management is and things started sort of happening and, you know, we've suddenly been on Spotify playlists and we're like, oh, that's exciting. And then it was like, oh, you're the cover of this playlist. And we're like, oh, and it just kind of kept going. And it just hasn't stopped. And it's been insane. You know, we're playing the Download pilot next month and we're doing Real Download next year. Which we were talking to our agent doing like a business call and we were talking about like short, mid and long-term goals. And we were talking about long-term, like, oh, it'd be really nice to play like Download or something. And the other day he was just like, shit, we're going to have to come up with some new ones now.
Yeah, long-term. Oh, completely right. So yeah, like July next year, you can just be like, oh, well, there you go. Pack the band in. We've done the long-term goals. That was it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. But that must just be a really kind of wholesome feeling. And one you really... probably couldn't expect with everything going on at the moment, especially over the years of being the band as kind of like a side hobby and just something you're doing for fun, and to now it being an actual serious thing where you've got day-to-day plans of what you need to do and just seeing all these mad accomplishments. How have you been able to cope like mentally with that change and just being able to keep up with everything that's happened over this last year?
I think at the beginning it was really hard because, like I said, we recorded our album. We had all these expectations of what we were going to do. Like, we'd booked tours. We were, you know, talking to agents. And we had all this kind of rolling. And then it just shut down. And for about 6 months, we were like the grumpiest married couple band. Like, we just argued and nobody wanted to talk to each other. And then sort of as our management kind of came in and he kind of sorted us out, like the bit, you know, like your dad comes in and goes, there, come on, grow up. And we just sort of started doing stuff, and it kind of picked us all up. And when we started getting artwork done, doing videos, and kind of got the ball rolling a bit, and it became more cohesive. And it was just, it kept us going. And I'll be honest with you, we've nearly finished album two already. The whole pandemic's just been, it's kind of been like a blessing and a curse. You know, we took a bit of a risk doing it in the pandemic, because I know a lot of people are choosing to wait until sort of after. And we were like, no, we need to do it now. It's now or never. And I think it's paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, but especially with you, kind of, obviously, vocalists are always seen as the face of the band and everything. So in that aspect as well, it must be weird to even think of little things like whatever you post on social media now is people are going to take more attention of. And I know you've been quite open in interviews and addressing issues and just personal things that's gone on surrounding the record. So is it weird on that aspect as well to think, oh, people are really listening to what I have to say on day-to-day life?
It's weird that people sometimes know like more about myself than like myself. It's like, you know, people will like believe, oh, do you remember when you said in that interview and you felt this? And I'm like, God, like it's so weird having people kind of care on that kind of a level. And it's really nice. And we've kind of got like a Discord chat with a lot of our fans and stuff, so we keep in like regular contact. And one of them was like collating all this information for something, and he found like all these interviews from like years ago, and I was just like, I don't even remember saying that. But it's so weird. it's great, but it's, you know, it's a weird one being on social media. I'm sort of way more withdrawn about, I don't really post like where I am, locations and stuff like that, which was something that I never really thought about before. But I'm much more sort of like aware of things, because the internet is scary.
Yeah, I think I learned that early on, and I think the sooner everybody learns that, the better. And it's just, and with trolls as well, like, as you're always going to get people who just want to say miserable shit, so just mute them, block them, do whatever. Just don't take in anything they say.
I've been really, really lucky. I've not really had, you know, we get the odd comment on YouTube, but it's nothing like to the degree some people get. I've been very, very lucky, or we've been very, very lucky, that we're just sort of not a target for that kind of stuff. But we've got a couple of friends bands, especially with female fronted bands as well, that they kind of get like this weird like hate mob after them for no reason. And I'm just so glad that I haven't had to deal with that. But when we do, we just take that and we laugh about it privately. We just take it and we go, ha ha ha, this is sad. Because we had a advert, Spotify, we were like their first listen artist or radar thing, and we had to do like an advert thing. And it was actually just my face on this advert, and I was so fucking terrified. And the only thing people had to say was about my eyebrows, so that was great. To me, that was a win. Because I thought, they were like, oh, what kind of eyebrows are those? And I really just wanted to respond, but I was just like, no, do you know what? If that's the worst I can get, that's fine.
But who's like looking at stuff like that and then going, oh, I tell you what, though, I need to know more about these eyebrows. Like, what?
You know, I just don't... It's so odd what people pick up on. That's for me, that's what I was like, surely there would be something more creative that you could come up with, but clearly not. So that was a win for me.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, they haven't got imaginations, and they're just literally throwing shit at walls to see if anything can I'll get a no. You've got eyebrows. Oh, nice one, bro. Yeah. Oh, guess what? 99% of us have. You fucking nutter. Yeah, it's just dicks. But that's the perfect way, just to take it and just fucking, well, kind of what the my old band did was, we kind of like judo flipped this. So if people give us shit, we would just use that shit and then put it on a t-shirt. Like, we had the old stuff was better on a t-shirt, because that'll come you'll be having us soon.
We've getting people going, because we removed some old music and stuff from the internet, because it wasn't really and it wasn't part of our like lineup as it is now, and it's not the same band. So we were like, now we'll remove, and suddenly there's like this like mob that are like, oh, we must find it, and it's like, and then there's suddenly like people commenting on our videos going, the old music was better. And I'm going, we literally released our debut album like 3 weeks ago. Why? What? Like,
yeah, it's just, yeah. But yeah, you're going to get people like us, so beware of them. And you're just going to go, all right, yeah, of course. Of course it was better. Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm doing better than ever with my latest music. Yeah.
But to me, that's just a sign that the new stuff is going well and you've already made it in some way. Because if you've got trolls and people complaining about the old stuff, you must be doing something right, at least.
I think that's the specifications for a proper band, isn't it? Like being bullied by strange people on the internet and people complaining that you're not metal anymore or something.
Yeah, it's always one or the other. You're either not metal enough anymore or you're too... you've gone too soft now. Or you're too happy or you're too sad. And yeah, it's just... Hey,
it's like, how dare you be happy now?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh. Oh, you don't have to tell me about that.
But like speaking of YouTube comments as well, I did notice that you guys posted recently that even though like, you know, people get a lot of shit, that a couple of people had a full-on proper argument and discussion in your YouTube comments about, was it the Bible because of some lyrics?
The weirdest part was, right, the funniest thing about that is we wrote a whole song. Well, I wrote a whole song. I went through some, like, there was, like, context to, like, about struggling with organized religion. And the guy went to another song that has nothing to do with religion to preach about religion and how I was talking about the devil being on someone's shoulder. And I was like, you're so stupid. Like, at least if you'd gone to the other one, it would have made sense. But he's talking about, there was like a line, it was like, embrace the devil on your shoulder. And he went on some four comment like rant about like the Bible. And I was just like, this is so funny. I love it.
It's crazy, isn't it? Just,
You just gotta laugh. Because I find it hilarious. Like, I'll be honest with you. I just think it's great. It's like comedy to me.
Yeah, no, you've got to take it on the chin. It's just crazy just to see how people spend their time sometimes, really, more than anything. But no, it should be an exciting time for you because, as I said, the new record so far has gone down a treat. Both myself and Sean have absolutely loved what we've checked out. And how has it felt for you? Because there's been a lot of praise from not only fellow bands in your scene, but a lot of publications from the UK and abroad as well. I know Alt Press in America have been really forward with everything, and the record has already had like 5 million streams in over just what, a month and a half? So
I think March, so it has been quite a while, but it's still for us, like I said, it was like just surreal. It's been really weird. Like I said, we kind of went from nothing to everything, and you know, we had like a 3-page feature in the Alt Press magazine. One of them was just a whole picture of me, and I was like, oh my God, this is, it's terrifying, but exciting, I think is the best way to describe it. Because also we're scared now. We're like, what do we do now? Like, what's forward from here? Like, what do you get else?
Well, you get to the point where they have to give you your own magazine. Like,
there's Everything Unfolds magazine, where it's just
Everything lists, Unfolds.
It's just lists of YouTube comments and me laugh at them like an agony aunt.
It's not a bad idea, mind. It's not a bad idea.
Monetize copyright. It.
That's copyrighted you. So if it's only one of us three can do it, and it has to be with the permission of the other two. So, yes,
great. That must just be a great feeling in itself, though, just seeing like yourself on a whole page of a magazine that so many of your inspirations and bands that you've grown up loving over the years have shared the same kind of, you know, stage. So like, how's that been for you, just thinking in that terms, that you are on that level of bands you grew up listening to?
That's it. It's weird when you're sort of compared, like we had a, like Alt Press said we were like, there was a song like best of the year or something, one of our singles, and it was like alongside like bands either I have listened to for a long time or I've started listening to, and I'm just like, nah, don't believe you. Like, you know, you're in amongst bands like Loathe and, you know, all these upcoming incredible bands that I've been listening to for years, and I just don't believe people. I'm like, don't be stupid, not us. So yeah, it's weird. And you know, reading, I used to read a lot of like magazines. Like, I was going through the other day, and Sean, this would be hilarious, I was going through my Kerrang! Magazines, and there was a massive, like, the blackout, like, feature, must have been from, like, and I was like, because I was clearing out some stuff, I was trying to find, like, an old thing, and I was just like, it's mad, now looking at myself in those magazines, or, like, seeing our names and reviews and things, and it was just like, it's so weird,
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but, like, Yeah, like I remember the first time, like I saw myself in a magazine. I saw it as like, oh, I know the other five boys. I know them.
Who's that one? Yeah.
Yeah, this blonde tit in the middle. Get him out of the way. But I know the other five. Like, and yeah, it was just such a weird feeling. And yeah, it's just, it's awesome to see that in you. And it's only going to get more for you. So like,
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope we don't get relegated now.
Yeah. You're going to end up jaded by it. And you're going to be like, oh, God, I am sick of being on the cover of magazines now. That's it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We haven't had a cover yet, so that's the next thing.
It's coming now. It's coming, I reckon. Oh, I'm going to make...
Making a prediction?
Oh, no.
Fuck yeah, I'm going to make
a prediction.
Right.
I'd imagine you get a cover of a magazine before December 2021. Definitely, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I reckon it'll definitely be one in between here somewhere. There should be.
Be the most surreal thing. I think for me, that's a cover. That's what I'm like, done. I can quit now. Don't have to do this anymore.
if you get a cover on the week you're playing Download, that's the ultimate completion list. You're like, oh, that's both of them. That, I couldn't ask for a better week. Weeks can't get better than this. Damn. Ah.
But if it doesn't happen, that's Sean's fault for
I just wanted to show how confident I was in the band.
It's all right. I won't come after you, I promise.
That's one less person after him anyway. But like, no, let's dive into the record a little bit, because I've seen a lot of people kind of suggesting that they can't really put a genre with it because there's so many different influences and just little bit like mixtures of music. I know, for example, that a lot of people have called it post-hardcore, but you're very a big advocate of the cinematic vibes it produces, and there's been a lot of great comments on your vocals and the mixture between the cling and those screams. So is it just a collection of everything you're all into and just trying to create something different?
I think that's pretty much the nail on the head. Like we don't write music to please anyone else in terms of like, we're not appeasing a genre. We're not appeasing a certain like fan base. We just write music that we like writing, and it just so happens that other people like it too. And I think that's one thing we're sort of always going to hold ourselves to, is that we don't want to be put in a bracket. We like where we are. You know, we like doing songs without screaming in it. You know, people will always say to us, oh, this song needed screaming. I'm like, no, it didn't. If you actually listen to the song, it didn't, like, the tone doesn't work, it doesn't work, it sounds silly. And other ones where it's like, yeah, it's all screaming, because it's just, when I'm writing, I will just listen to a song and I'm like, all right, if that feels right there, then that's how it's going to be. I don't go, nobody will come to me, if the boys come to me and go, oh yeah, I think we should do some screaming for the sake of it, I'd be like, no, go home. So that's kind of, yeah, it's something that I think all of us are very focused on, that, and we all listen to such a wide variety of music. I mean, like Adam, who does a lot of this sort of guitar writing and stuff, he literally exclusively listens to like R&B and like jazz. Like, as he listens to a bit of jazz and this, that, and the next, it's so funny. And John, sort of keyboard, he does a lot of the writing. He produces a lot of K-pop and stuff, and in his, like, that's his job. And what? So we've got all these weird, like, it's interesting.
His job is writing K-pop.
He does like loads of different stuff. So he does stuff for like rappers, and he does like kind of publishing stuff for like different artists and stuff.
Congratulations!
Yeah, no, he does very well. He's the youngest one out of all of us, of course, and he's done the most successful. Yeah. So he's only like 21, and I'm just like, oh, I hate you so much. But that's something we definitely stand by. And I exclusively listen to like emo from the year 2002 to like 2008. That's it. Just that.
Nice.
So yeah.
those six really good years of emo. Yeah, I completely agree. But what were some of your kind of biggest vocal influences growing up and getting into music?
So I'd probably say the first time I listened to like an artist and I was like, that's what I want to do, was probably Avril Lavigne. You know, I grew up kind of when she was on that hype. I was still quite young, and then and then Busted. I loved Busted. You know, yes. Again, I was quite young, so it was okay. It was okay.
Don't act like that's a guilty pleasure on here. I fucking love.
Some people literally judge me so hard for it, and I'm like, no, but they're great. I loved it.
To be honest, when she said Avril was on the hype, I was like, oh, that's not sitting well with Morgan. She's never left the hype in Morgan's eyes.
But yeah, she's only getting hype for hyper.
Yeah. And then she. Yeah, and then she follows it up with our bad boy, and I was like, oh, Morgan's going to go mad.
Yeah,
Morgan's never left. Morgan's got a busted back tattoo, see? He's nice. Got all three of them on his nice. Back, across his shoulders. Bust more. Sorry.
But no, sorry. It was kind of when I was really, really young, when I was probably like 7 or 8, probably even younger, but it was kind of like, and then as I kind of grew up, I started watching Kerrang, and I would watch like bands like Paramore and Fall Out Boy, and then I started getting into like My Chemical Romance, who are like my favorite band of all time. Like I would die for them. Like I just love them so much. And then that's kind of, and then from there, I started discovering like the heavier stuff, like getting into metalcore. And I went through like that phase, and Ask Alexandra and like all that stuff. And then I've just come back now to the emo, and that's me. And I'm stuck there. But in terms of specific vocalists, it's probably like, I don't know. You know, it's so hard. In terms of this record, I used to listen to a lot of Flyleaf a couple of years ago. So I sort of go back and forward to them. But Lacey Sturm, I absolutely love, and also Becca from Marmosets. I think she's fucking sick. And it's so weird. It's not anyone specific, but they're probably two that stick out to me that I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see that evolution and stuff as well that you've picked, and how your influence has grown over the years. Because I think a lot of people do go back to things that they loved growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I still try and keep up with like modern music. It's so bad, isn't it? I'm like, I go through my playlist. But what's nice is that all the music I listen to is pretty much my peers and my friends. And like, I just don't listen to anything else. And I'm like, but that's great because it's supporting my friends, supporting the industry at that level. And I think, oh well, can't be mad at myself. So,
well, you mentioned My Chem just then as being your favorite band or whatever. Is that the dream, to support them?
I don't think I'd get there. I think I'd pass out before I was able to do it. But I honestly, it would be, that would be the point that I could quit. That would be it. Like, that would be incredible.
Do you know what? I hope one of your haters listens to this, right? Just for the fact that they're going to be like, how many times has she promised she's going to quit? And then I bet you it happens, right?
Yeah.
I bet all these things are going to happen, and they're going to be like, it's she fucking promised she was going to quit.
And I just keep going, I keep one up in it. I'm like, oh, well, maybe.
I want to be queen of the world. She's queen of the world. She said she's going to quit. She's getting the band going.
Honestly. But yeah, that for me would be the ultimate dream. So, don't know if the boys would feel the same, but I definitely would.
Yeah, I don't see why it couldn't happen.
I think after this, we should definitely release a this is when I'll quit list for you, just to see how many you can like complete over the next year, and then see what happens.
It's getting closer.
Yeah. Yeah, but speaking about the rest of the boys as well, I've noticed that with this record, you've already mentioned that in a way, writing these songs was kind of therapy in many aspects of different problems you all had going on at that time. And if anything, you've all become much closer since making this record. If it's not too much kind of detail, could you go into a little bit more of that and just some of the issues and like the togetherness you've all felt in this process?
I think, weirdly, writing this record, we ended up rushing it. I think that was where we ended up arguing a lot as well. But on, like, a personal level, like, a lot of us were going through, like, breakups and, like, various, like, mental problems. You know, I had really bad anxiety. But my anxiety was a lot of, like, how people perceive me. You know, I would be really, really anxious about that. Like, if I was wearing odd socks, but no one could see my socks, I would be anxious about it, that people would judge me for it. And it was just so horrible. And music was the outlet for that, because I could go somewhere and we could have a laugh, write some music. But then it started to kind of, there were people that were dipping in and out of the same thing. But eventually we all kind of came together and sort of like helped each other, because we are like very, very close. We're sort of friends first and then band, which I feel works for us really, really well. Some people prefer it to be much more of a work environment, but we're sort of like friends first. You know, we still go and like, we're so sad, we still go like bowling. And we do like bonding experiences, and we go out to the pub and we hang out without talking about the band, which I think has been like, is a healthy thing to do. Because you do it at work, you do team building exercises. So it's no different from being in a band.
And in the future, you can also ask fans if they want to come on the As Everything Unfolds work expedition, where you go camping for a weekend with fans. I'm a merch idea today. I'm just coming up with things.
I thought,
what an experience that would be.
No camping for me.
I thought you were going to say bowling tournament then.
Yeah,
I'm writing that down as well.
What don't you like about camping?
I just don't. I just don't sleep very well. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with the hot tent. See, I always end up on the side that's like on the hill, like right pressed up against the like sheet, and I'm like no. And then I need a wee, and I'm like right, I have to go outside to go for a wee. No, I ain't about that life. Sorry.
No. The worst thing about camping at festivals for me was waking up like so early in the morning, freezing cold, and could not get back to sleep, and then you'd have to like stay up and try and get food just to warm yourself up, and especially with festival prices, it's not the best routine in the world, is it?
No, that's, you know what, I've not done a camping festival because the only festival I've ever been to is Slam Dunk because it's a day, and I'm like, this is bearable, this is okay, and because we're like sort of not that, we're about an hour from Hatfield, so I'm like, this is my dream. And there was kind of like a bit of me that was always like, I didn't want to go to one of the big like three festivals until I played it. That was kind of like a little bit of a self goal, which now I'm like, that's pretty cool. I didn't expect it to actually happen. It was kind of a way of me getting out of not going and camping.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. It's not my thing, camping at all.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not a big fan, really.
No.
Sweaty, getting dripped on from the tent and all that. Ah, get out of here. Yeah.
And then someone falls in your tent in the middle of the night and you just start.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, they come in your tent, they're like, oh, sorry, wrong tent.
Wrong tent. What do you mean, wrong tent?
I've never understood that. How would you not know what tents were?
Well, I suppose if you're that drunk.
Yeah, a lot of people just find tents.
A lot of my friends have just been like, yeah, I just found a tent and just lay in it. And I was like, what? Like, you just went into someone else's tent. They were like, well, yeah.
But that also means that somebody's out there just lost a tent as well.
It's just like...
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Oh, I upgraded. I got a two-berth caravan. You'd never guess what's happened. I left my temper there, came back, fat fella in there, took his keys. I got his camper van. Unbelievable. What an upgrade.
Win-win.
Oh, I'd love that at a festival, upgrade to a camper van.
You couldn't do that in any other walks of life, though. You couldn't just walk into someone else's house and go, oh, this is my one.
I'm getting in your bed.
Yeah. There's nobody in. Oh, it's mine then. It'd be mine. Yeah. Mine till the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's going to be cool though. Like going to Download for the first time and playing Download Pilot.
It's really kind of daunting, like because obviously this has all been, it all got kind of arranged quite last minute because obviously we weren't really sure what was going to happen with the rules, and we literally were like, oh my god, we haven't practiced for like a year. We should probably practice. It was, and obviously now from the time we were playing before, we weren't playing any of the album songs, and we've been practicing here and there sort of to try and keep up to date, but like. It's so weird. I'm going to practice straight after this, and I think we'll probably do like two next week. And it's just mad.
Do you ever struggle getting back into it, or are you straight back into it and it's fine singing and screaming? And
it depends on the night. Like for me, the main thing for me is adrenaline. Like if I have adrenaline pumping, I'm fine. Like I will not have an issue. But you know, if you're having a slightly down day and you've been a bit like unproductive and you feel a bit low, it's like I'm just like, oh. But the boys are really good. Like sometimes I'll just do my talking bits, or I'll practice like just the singing, or I'll do just the screaming, or you know, we sort of flip and change of practice. And as long as it goes right and it's fine. But there's never been a time where live it's gone so badly wrong that it's been hugely noticeable. We're quite lucky, really. Apart from when Adam fell into the drum kit, but that was on the last song, so it was okay. It kind of looked like part of the show.
Smooth.
Yeah, you don't want that first song. Oh, he's gone over the drum kit straight away. Oh God.
But that's a question, mind. You mentioned the adrenaline, and especially at like a live performance. But once you finish the set, how do you kind of cope to like on that come down? Because that's something I've always wondered with vocalists, because if you're giving so much energy on the stage, when it finishes, you must still have that kind of leftover buzz that is, is hard to kind of shake off, really.
Well, I literally shake. Like, I almost like, I'm almost like jittery. Like, when I come off for the first, like, 5-10 minutes, and then I'll kind of get like cold and tired, and I'll be like, right, it's time for a drink. That's kind of what I go straight for, kind of normally just a drink, whether that'll continue for the rest of the night or not, I don't know. But that's kind of what I tend to do. And I don't really eat before I sing, which like, because the various issues, singing before is just not good. So I always try and keep, so sometimes I'm like shaking, I'm like, I don't know if I'm hungry or I've got too much adrenaline or what. So I normally eat, have a drink, and just go and sit down for a bit. And just normally I'll sit behind the merch table or something. So.
Oh, interesting. Awesome.
Well,
interesting.
Yeah, something I wanted to know was when you write in, what do you do, melody first or is it lyrics first? So, and when you go in with lyrics, is it like a set you've got already written for one song, or is it like my way of doing it is I've got a note section and I've got loads of different lines and quips, should we say. Lines that I think are funny or interesting, and then I'll make a song out of them when one of them finally fits the melody that I've come up with.
Yeah. I don't work too dissimilarly to you. Like, sometimes I will just sort of write something down, and when you're my notes, I've got like thousands of just like random lines. And other times it will be like, I'll be listening to the demo and I'll be like, oh, that melody's really cool, and I'll sort of like hum it. And then I don't work in like one particular way. I kind of like flip between. Like, sometimes I will write a whole load of lyrics and I'm like, cool, now I just need a song. And it can vary so much. Like, but sometimes, like today, I was at a writing session with the boys as well. And I went there with nothing, and then we came out and wrote a whole song. So I was like, and sometimes that just works. Sometimes you just sort of, again, it's like the vibe, and sometimes you're in a good mood, and sometimes you're just like inspired. And like, I will sometimes use there's a band called Rivals, and I talk to their vocalist quite a lot. And she was saying to me, she was like, oh, honestly, she said, go on a random word generator and just click it and just see what comes up. Because you said it sometimes can like instigate, like, because sometimes it's the starting point that's the hardest, because everything else can kind of flow around it. So if you kind of find a word and you're like, oh, that's a cool word. And I wouldn't normally come up with that word because it's random as hell. So, and then you kind of build a song around it. And I've sort of been trying that out as well. Obviously, it doesn't always work because then you get like random words. Like today I was like, Ivy. And I was like, I can't really do it. I can't really write a song on Ivy. But yeah, no. So yeah, I don't really have one particular way. Just all of them, all of the ways.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Oh, every way.
Do you know what though? I don't think a lot of music fans will realize how often bands go onto like apps and websites like that, like random word generator, Rhymezone.
Rhymezone is my bae. Honestly, I would not be without it.
Yeah, I've used Rhymezone several times. Rhymes with day, Sean?
Yeah.
Rhymezone!
You're just going simple. Through and you're like, way, may. Yeah. And you sort of like hum into yourself and you're like, oh, okay, that one works. Ooh. And then on to the next one. Then you go, next word. And you're like, next word. And I, honestly, I'm a nightmare. I'm not hugely, I never was really strong, which is so funny being a lyricist. Like, never really strong with like English language and literature and writing. I find it quite hard. I can't read books because I will read a page and then I'll go, I don't understand what I just read, so I have to read the page again, then I'll do it again, and then I have to. So it's, for me, I do rely on a lot of that stuff, but often in my head it's sort of, I have an idea of what I want the song to be about conceptually, and I'll kind of pick and choose words and build it around it.
But going back to the team building exercises that you guys do, it's quite nice to see that you all have those activities and you're not talking about the band. Because I think, you know, speaking to a lot of musicians over the years, and especially on this podcast, you know, we've mentioned the word jaded quite a bit. And I think a lot of acts do get kind of fed up with that routine and seeing each other on a basis where all it is business. There's no, oh, let's just hang out and have a beer. It's, well, what are we going to do about the single or this graphic, or, you know, vice versa. So it's nice to see that already you've established that relationship so that you can separate business from joy, really.
Yeah, no, it's really important. And I do feel like when we don't do that for a long time, that's when things start to get tense. And we've started like, you know, online chatting, like we use Facebook Messenger, is a nightmare, especially when you've got like hugely sarcastic people in your band and things get taken the wrong way. And, you know, and often like big decisions where like, no, we're not going to talk about it on here because it's going to be a disaster. Let's talk about it in person. So we'll meet up and actually have a conversation in person, because the likelihood is it will be a 15-hour conversation on Messenger of people just misunderstanding each other and not reading. Whereas when you talk, it'll be 20 minutes. We'll be like, yeah, is this what we're doing? Yeah, cool, done. Like, you know, but we've had to learn that through the endless amounts of arguments we've all had with each other about menial things like, oh, I don't like that time signature. Oh, but I want it there for that reason. And oh, it's, you know, so it's silly, really. But you do have to build and learn. And I do feel like a lot of bands just put up with it because they feel like it's part of the thing, you know. We have to argue, bands argue. You're like, no, do you know what? It's like people who say argue with their partner. Oh, we always argue with your partner. And you're like, why? Like, surely that should be a like happy, healthy relationship. It's the same thing. You know, you're basically married to your people in your band. I have five husbands, if that's the case, you know. So like, and I have more like, to be honest, they're more like children, but you know, it's like, yeah. It's like four little kids. I'm like, no, get down from there. Stop swearing. Stop doing this. Stop being a twat. Get off there. Yeah. So that's probably more what it's like.
You need it. Yeah. Yeah, when you had five husbands, and I was like, she's got her own harem going. That's fucking awesome. That'd be amazing. Yeah. She's collecting them. She's collecting husbands. Yeah, what can you play? Get in, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's like triangle. Yep, you're in.
Yeah. Married. Married to me. Can you look at anyone else?
Is there anything you guys do though at the moment to try and, you know, keep level grounded, or just like appreciate all these achievements that have started to come up now? Just maybe just put it into perspective of where you've come, so you don't get jaded so easily.
I think because it's happened so quickly, we haven't realised yet. And I do make sure that, like, you know, I keep very like up to like talking to people, especially other people in bands that are maybe like sort of around our scene and whatever. And you can't forget where you came from. You can't forget that you were there once. You were that band asking, you know, we get messages from bands asking, oh, when you're playing London, like, please like put us on the list. And like, we do, because you're like, do you know what? That was us once. We once were messaging bands slightly above us to try and get on their support tours, because you know, that's what you do. And, you know, a lot of bands will be like, oh, fucking hell, messaging us, begging to go. You're like, no, because everybody's done it. And you have to, and you don't know, they might end up being a big band and they might be great and they might be able to pull the crowd and be really good fun and be really nice people. So you can't dismiss people. And I think that's hugely important. I think that keeps us grounded. But also, just talking to fans on a casual level as well. Like on the Discord, like, you know, I do keep a lot of my social media quite like closed. Like, I don't answer messages that often, because I kind of keep my messages for like people I do know. I do post like public posts on Facebook, but I have private ones as well. So I keep that separate. But on the Discord, I will chat like all day. Like, I will just chat to people, chat about like memes and dogs, and people will talk about their like university, and we'll all talk about that and life. And I feel that's very, very important.
Nice. Use another bit of advice. Try and keep as much as you can of everything that's going on. So like any like, when you win awards, make sure you keep them, right?
Because we've already had that discussion.
Yeah.
we're like, if we ever, and then like one is like, well, how many do we get? I think it's only one.
Yeah, it's one. It's
well,
one.
We'll have to cut it in six pieces. Why don't you do that?
Do you know what? I wish we thought of that. Because one of us. One of my old banders got it, Snoz, and other five of us haven't seen it for years. But not just keep trophies, keep magazines, anything like that, because, yeah, what I learned...
I've got, like, a little, like, magazine rack thing up here, and I do tend to keep that. Annoyingly, a lot of magazines are going out of print, or they haven't been printing over this last pandemic, so all the articles we've been in have actually been digital, but I do tend to kind of like screenshot them or something. Yeah, you know, keep a little catalog.
I kind of thought when it was kind of happening to me, I was just like, oh, this is going to happen forever. I'm going to be singing Children of the Night in an old people's home. This is going to be fine. wrong. And then you're like, oh wait, and then there's just things I've missed, like there's covers of Kerrang's that I haven't got of us on. And just stuff like that. So yeah, keep everything. Memories are definitely worth keeping. So yeah, don't get jaded by it and be like, oh, you know, there'll be another alt press.
No, that's just good advice, actually. Because I feel
there will be
right.
Another alt press. Yeah, there will be another alt press. But also savour the one You know, savour the latest one, always.
No, that's very good. Because you do get very sort of like, another bit of press. Because it's all happening at the same time, you know, when you are doing a campaign, it's just chaos. And it's just, you know, you'll be like, oh, we need to post about this tomorrow, post about that. And I don't even know what's going on. So you're right, I probably need to go back through and like make a bit of a catalogue of it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just like alternative press. Like, I don't know how much of a big deal that is for you, but I know for the blackout, that would have been I don't think we ever had anything alternative press.
I don't know how we've got it. I'll be honest with you. Like, especially when we thought it was going to be like some little like mini feature on like the, you know, the new band section. And they're like, oh no, we want to do like a 3-page spread. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm still waiting. They are meant to be sending me a copy, but it's now been like 2 months and I haven't seen it yet. So I might have to try.
Have a look on eBay, see if you can find one just to have one certified for your collection.
My mum likes to like, she says to me, she's like, should I go and buy the magazine? She's like, and she'll buy like 4 of them and she'll be like handing them out like Pokemon cards, like to people.
Nice. Yeah, my mother was the same. Yeah, she's laminated things like, oh, yeah. In my mother's living room, she's got like wonky articles from the newspaper on the wall, laminated like in a frame, and you're like, look at the shape on that. Just like, yeah. Oh, the blue jams.
You feel bad because they're so proud, and you're just like, oh,
oh yeah. Like, yeah. Just, oh, you know, leave it, man. Is that leaving? Look at my hair in that photo, man.
Yeah, and it's like when all your mum's friends or your parents' friends come over and they all start talking about it, they're like, how's your rock band doing? And you're like, I'm going to have to try and explain to you how this is going, but in like the most basic terms possible. They're like, oh, so what do you do? Is it like Iron Maiden? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not really. I'm like, and I have to try and come up with some form of way of describing it.
Do you guys do covers or originals?
Sentence. Yeah, they're like, oh, you write your own music. That's amazing. I didn't know people could do that. And you're like, yeah.
What do you mean?
But honestly, like, it's. I think you do forget when you're in this sort of circle. You know, even people like that I meet sort of at like my day job, and also like I've started up like playing netball, and I'll be like talking about like to my team. I'll be like, oh yeah, like a download festival. And they're like, what, like the download festival? And I'm like, download festival. What? That's what, like, you know, they'll sort of, and I forget that, like, you know, because most of my friends now are in this circle or understand it or in some regard. So, yeah, you sort of, and that does humble you as well, because you sort of go, oh, yeah, shit, that is quite cool.
Actually. Yeah, they are right. They are right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it takes sometimes, is just somebody just to remind you to be like, you're doing download, mind. That's like, yeah. Monsters of Rock, which was years ago, and you know,
that's
like
what my dad called it when I said, I was like, isn't that Monsters of Rock? I was like, no,
yeah, no. It is, but it haven't been for 25 years. fair enough, yeah. It's just awesome, isn't it? It's just amazing, like, and all the greats have played there, and yes, you're next.
Mm. I'm controversially excited about Biffy Clyro, everybody else seems to not be. But I am actually quite excited to watch them.
Oh, they'll be great, I think.
Yeah, because
fantastic.
Because it's been a bit of a controversial one, because obviously, like, you know, people don't think that they're headline worthy, but I'm like, well, they sell out stadiums, so as far as I'm aware, they're big enough to play it.
No, what it is, right, Simon Neil is just that attractive that metal fans are offended by his beauty.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I don't even know if he's offended. I think it's probably... He makes them feel some type of way they've never felt before. As soon as he whips that...
Could be.
As soon as Boyo whips his top off, right? There's loads of metalheads here, right? Who are super homophobic, who are going, oh, that's made me feel weird in my belly.
Do you know what the best name for those people are? It's called neckbeards. That's what we call them.
Neckbeards.
Neckbeards. And no, but if you think of what a neckbeard looks like, it's exactly what they are. Like, they're just neckbeards. Like, I don't know how to describe it. So... Like, there were their download T-shirt that's faded from, like, the year 1998, sitting in their camping chair with their, like, massive pint, just, like, making huff noises because Iron Maiden aren't playing. You know, that's them. Like, no room for the new bands. Just, like... But that's why this pilot, I feel, is really, really good as well. Because... Not because they've been forced to have UK bands, because the UK scene is fucking great, in my opinion. But I do feel like it is more targeted at a younger audience, because I think with this testing, I think they're trying to get a lot of sort of information from younger people as well. But I'm like, in my opinion, I think the lineup for that is better. That's my personal opinion. But like, not just because I'm on it, because we're on both of them, but like, it's like, it's much more sort of aimed at sort of younger bands and fresher bands. And actually, you know, Bullet headlining, I'm like, that's great, you know, because they don't actually do a huge amount much. I don't particularly like them. I never really was into that kind of stuff, but I know that they're great and they do like sell out arenas. You know what I mean? They're more than worthy. And then the amount of people that were like moaning on the social post, like we were laughing, like all of us were like just taking the piss out of all these people. They were like, oh, where are the classics? Where are the classics? And you're like, play every year. They play every fucking year. Like, yeah. Let somebody else have a go.
The shielding at the moment. That's why they can't come out. They're all over 70, man. You can't. Yeah. You can't drag Agus Young out when he's a bloody virus, man. He'll knock his little school uniform off him. Love him. You don't want him getting any skinnier. He'll drop out of that uniform.
No, but as we mentioned earlier, people will complain about anything one day a month. On that though, what would you say is the best and worst advice you've had so far from other artists or just people in general?
I don't think I've had any particular bad advice, I'll be honest with you. Like, but a lot of the best advice has been just like, I don't know, like just silly little things like go to bed. And like, you know, don't stay up drinking. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then me ends up in hospital in Sweden, mainly because I had back problems. And I was like, I'm going to drink to get through the pain instead of taking painkillers like a normal person. But anyway. So
please tell me that night didn't start in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was
hoping you were so drunk in like Manchester that you were like, I ended up in Sweden with a bad back. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no wonder you have a bad back from all in swimming.
No, we played a festival in Sweden, which was like this was our first European tour. It was like 2 years ago. I don't know how we managed it, but we did. But it was, yeah, I was like, I'd done something to my back and I still have problems with it now. But at the time, instead of just taking the advice of everybody around me and going, go to the pharmacy, get some painkillers, it'll be fine, don't drink. No, I went and got absolutely hammered that I just don't remember anything. I just remember being in the hospital and they were like, just go home, just go back. And then I just was in so much pain. And I'm like, that was stupid. I knew it was stupid. And it's things like that. And like looking after your body, I think is so, so important, especially when you're touring. And if you're cramped up in a van, like, you know, for such a long period of time, we were doing such ridiculous drives. I think that was part of it. You know, you're making sure that if you can stretch, just get out the van. If there's any chance to get out the van, just hold your arms up and just stretch. Like, you know, it's silly things like that that I now take advice. Well, you know, do that. And yeah, going to bed like a normal person and not being tired.
You mentioned getting back into netball. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I'm just so unfit. So I was like, that's just the straight. I used to play when I was at school, like 7 years ago or something. And I was just like, yeah, I need to do something that's not, because I bought an exercise bike. That's bored. I'm so bored of it. It's so boring. I'd take the dog for a walk, but that's not really anything. So, and you know, it's good to do something outside of the band as well that isn't just, you know, that. It's because you do get so absorbed. Everything becomes it. Your whole life is run by it. Like everything I do is dictated by the band because that takes priority for me at the moment. So it's really nice for just sort of like, no, I just sort of went, nah, I think it'd be healthy for me to Thursday nights. I'm like, no band, no nothing. Do not ask me to do anything. Do not ask me to do any Photoshop stuff. I will be at netball. So yeah, that's me. We're quite lucky as a band actually, because I did a photography degree. Five out of six of us have degrees in the band. So that was also a thing. We all did that while we were doing the band, which is why it took a while for it to really get off, because we were kind of balancing. And John was still at school while I was at uni. So John was like at school while we were touring, which was just stupid.
Oh,
but
wow.
That's my thing. My netball is my not band thing I do.
Nice. I like the idea of John in school uniform while you guys are just rocking out in Europe or something. And he's just...
Luckily, we were only playing like small shows, but we were laughing about it the other day. We went around for a barbecue or something at one of our houses and George, the bassist, who's the oldest one, and he sat there. He was like, literally, when I was in Cavos, John was like 8, and he just sat there and he was just like, And it's things like that you realise. And I'm like, George, we're not, none of us are 30 yet. So I'm like, that's fine. None of us are 30. So he makes it out like he's like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to have to quit the band in a year. Like, you know, this, that, and the next. I'm like, oh, shut up. I'm like, come on, grow up.
No, you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. I think every band now needs a youngster who's a computer genius somehow in producing and stuff. Yeah. I genuinely think that's probably going to be the future of music now. There's going to be bands, right, where like four of them can barely play, and then there's the one uber producer.
Oh, that's us.
No. But yeah, who literally just goes, right, I've done this. And then you go, Jesus Christ. And then, yeah, it's just going
to
be that.
But it is, to some degree, what we're doing at the moment is like Adam and John, the two sort of writers, main instrumental writers, will just complete a song. They will have a completed song and just give it to me and go, this is the song. And obviously, if things want to be changed by other people, they can be. But yeah, it's mad that you can just like create, like, you know, you used to do it in the practice room, you know, like before you started using like, you know, all the production software and stuff, you'd stand in a room, somebody would play a riff and you go, that's quite cool, yeah. So, and then you just go over and over and over, and it's just, it's so much more efficient now, I must admit. Like I said, I went round and I've written a whole song, and you're like, there's no way we would have written a whole song at a practice session, no way. Too much chatting.
Yeah. No, but it's nice to see how like energetic you guys are about just writing music and everything. But just a couple of more quick things, Charlie, before we let you go and rehearse with the band. One thing I wanted to mention, and something that the two of you have in common, is Sean and Charlie, you have both done music videos with a section of the two of you having to go underwater.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about that, because I think by just watching those, that's a lot of effort.
Oh, yeah. No, the only reason, do you know what? I did that underwater shoot. I had COVID 3 weeks before I did that. I had symptoms of long COVID.
Couldn't breathe. And you just thought, I'll have a dip.
I'm not even joking. I only could hold my breath for 10 seconds at most. So the poor videographer had to like really kind of like be quick. Like he was like, as soon as I was under the water, it was like filmed straight away. Like, there was no leeway. But obviously we couldn't rearrange it. It was just like, we booked it all in. It was quite difficult to get it all arranged and everything. And I was like, no, we're going to do it. And also I needed a wee halfway through, and I was like, this is not fun. So obviously
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't pee in the pool, can you? Especially when there's cameras everywhere. Yeah. You're in there doing a scene, and all of a sudden there's this yellow, right? And people are like, we know what she's done. We know what.
It's pretty, I had like a dress on as well, yeah. And it was like a really heavy. So I got out and I was just like hobbling to this toilet, and I was just like, oh my God. And I was freezing. The tank was warm, like the water was about 35 degrees, but it was like, I didn't want to get out. Like all the boys, like we did it, just me, videographer, and one of the other band members, because I thought, I'm not having them all there because it'll be a piss take. And they all came in at the end and they just started laughing. They're just like, this is just so funny. It is, when you watch it like happening, when you're filming it, it's such a weird thing, you know. It's like a little dark tank.
Who shot the video?
Sean from Low Key Films. I don't know if you've
Okay, cool.
We
did ours with Sitcom Soldiers, and it was in a swimming pool in Bolton, and I wore a suit, and yeah, I nearly drowned. I thought they were like, oh yeah, so we can do this all underwater scene or whatever, and I was like, oh cool, they've got divers in with oxygen, you know, the full shamonk. Wrong. Couldn't have been more wrong. It was literally, Sean, you've got to hold your breath and just go down there and do some acting. Oh, can I? All right, yeah, I'll just nip down here now and just do that. What? Oh, yeah, I'll just see. Shall I see through water? Yeah, oh, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
It's luckily ours was in like a proper place, so we had
you
like.
You win. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least we had like, you know, it was the glass screen, and it was, like I said, it was warm. It was, and there was a guy like supervising, because he obviously had to be there for like health and safety. But actually, like, it was like, yeah. So at least it was like proper. But I didn't do any singing of it underwater, because I was like, there's no way I can do it for long enough as well, because I'm just like, I can't breathe. But it was weird, and I was in there for like 3 hours. I literally just, it's solid. Apart from when I got up for like one wee break and then got back in it, I was just like, this is just so ridiculous. And then after that, the other part of the music video, we decided we were going to film outdoors in the winter in the woods. And I had
straight
to
after. Walk. Right, straight out.
Literally, I had to get out, and then I had to wash my hair in a sink because they didn't have a shower. Oh. And I was like, washing my hair. And then I normally have like silver shampoo and stuff in my hair. No, the chlorine took all the silver out and it was just yellow. And I was like, oh no. And I was just like washing it out, and all the boys were just like laughing at me. And then in my hair was just so frizzy. I was like, I'm just wearing a hat. I just wear a hat.
Yeah. So people hat don't, yeah, people don't, people think shooting videos is super glamorous. Like they think everything's sorted. Like, I think they think of LA like Hollywood blockbusters. Like they think you've got a trailer each, everything is sorted. And I've done some videos where it's literally been the most punk rock thing. Like, Jesus Christ, we shoot this on Andy Cam. What?
Yes. Yeah.
They don't even make them anymore.
Yeah, well, we did a lot. One of our last videos was filmed in it wasn't abandoned, but it's in Liverpool. There's like this house that basically is kind of, every band has used it. Once you know the building and you watch videos, you're like, oh, yeah, the Liverpool house. It is literally falling apart at the seams, and I it's just covered in pigeon shit. Like, the whole video, I was just like, like, but we did like a one-shot style thing, like through the whole like building. But I was just like, I was just like trying to avoid like touching the walls and like touching the floor. And I was like, this is so gross. It was, and there was no heat, and it was, again, did winter, decided to do it with a building that had no roof. And I was just fucking freezing. Yeah, it's so naughty.
Yeah. Was that for On the Inside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fantastic video.
Very, yeah, thank
very,
you. It was
very well done.
It was a lot of fun because we had to choreograph it all like before. And like, literally, once you move away, I'm like running down the corridor to get to the next bit. And there was points that Zach would come out and I just wasn't there because I tripped over in the hallway. Where are you? So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. We always have fun on our videos, but they are not glamorous because for some reason I decide that I'm going to do something that's just not easy. So...
proper behind the scenes here. And just one last thing for me as well. I know we've mentioned a lot about moments that would make you so happy that you could happily quit the band afterwards. But at this present time of recording, what would you say is your biggest oh my god moment from the band so far? Is there anything in particular that you've achieved, anyone you've met along the way, or just anything like that that makes you so proud, or you can't believe that you've been able to experience that so far?
I think something that I can't announce yet, something that I can't talk about. Which is
when's
really,
this coming
really...
out, Morg? When's this coming out?
This,
when
will,
do
be,
think...
this will be a few weeks, so
no,
I don't...
This is quite a long-term thing, so I can't. Shit. But yeah, I know, it's very annoying. But other than that, but that's probably one of the few things, the secret thing is one of the few things that I was like, holy fuck, that's really fucking cool.
Oh, is it a tour coming up? Yeah.
not that. I assume you might know about that.
Oh, do we?
I don't know.
Do I? Perhaps I know it all anyway, so you may as well just say what... I tell you what, you tell me what you think I know.
No, that's shit. Not how this works.
Shit.
But no, there's a lot of really cool things, but I think in terms of, like, so far, it's definitely been downloaded. Like, we got that... So on our album release day is when we found out that we were playing Download 2022. Because Live Nation, so our agent has sort of been talking with Live Nation, sort of creating a relationship and sort of building up sort of contacts with that. And he literally sent us a thing over and was like, oh, Live Nation have got a little gift for you guys. And I was like, well, the fuck are they going to send us? Like a hamper? Like, I was so confused. And I was just at work, like, on my phone, you know, like I said, it was sort of like album release day. I was just flicking to all the stuff. And they were like, oh, yeah, so they want to give you a slot at Download. And we were like, ah. Like, for us, that was just so... That was the moment where I think we realised, we were like, holy shit, this is mad. Like, this is actually mad. So, that so far. But there are other things coming up that I can't talk about that are very...
I can't wait to finish this podcast to find out what it is.
I'm quitting the band, that's what it is. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, it's another thing. If it happens, I'm definitely going to quit the band. Yeah. If I quit the band, I'm going to quit the band. What? That doesn't make sense.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm looking forward to everything coming out and just people getting very excited. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time, Charlie. The new record is amazing, and it's been great to have some insight into everything going on.
No, thank you so much. It's been really good fun. It's been nice chat. Because we've been doing a lot of German interviews recently, and like sometimes the translation doesn't come across like well. And there was a poor guy that basically just fully criticised our album, and I don't think he completely realised.
He fucking love it. He fucking love it. Right, here's a story, right? We were on tour, the Blackout were on tour, supporting Funeral for a Friend in Europe, and Matt from Funeral for a Friend was sitting down doing an interview with a German press person, and So the guy said, so your new album, do you really like it? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, what? Really? And he's like, whoa, bro.
They don't care.
They don't give a fuck.
The guy literally, the intro to the thing was like, oh yeah, so you ended your album on like a slow song. I wouldn't have done that. I just didn't think it worked. And I was just like, and then he was like, you know, talking about the flow of the album, which we kind of know about. It was a bit all over the place because we struggle with flow for an album. And I was just like, yeah, okay. And then it was just sort of things that I said about that. He's asked what my influences were, and I said my chem, and he sort of just went, and I was like, what? I was like, this is a strange, and it was just so funny.
You literally should have gone, as soon as they say anything, like, I just go, all right, cool. What band? Let me Google your band now, and I'll see what you would have done. Oh, you've done nothing, you fucking prick.
It's just funny. It was just so funny because it was like right at the beginning, and I like messaged the boys while I was doing it. I was like, you're not going to believe this. This is so fucking funny. And I was doing it by myself, so I had no one to like bounce off or anything. I was just like, cool.
Yeah, it might be worth filming yourself candidly from now on, doing them, just so you can be like, oh, I can't believe he said that. But yeah, no, they are. Don't ever take that criticism on as like, oh, wow, this fucking hurt, because they literally do it to everybody's the bluntest reviews, especially from
Germany.
It's
so funny. Oh, the written ones are even worse. It's so funny. I love it. Sometimes I have to translate them, and then that's even funnier because all the words are like sometimes around the wrong way and you have to like decode what they've said.
Yeah, I wonder if World War One and World War Two accidentally started off bad German reviews.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Like, they were like, oh, no, I don't, nah, fuck. Yeah, they just said something stupid, and all of a sudden people were like, I'm not having that, these Germans, they're sticking it away. And they're like, no, it's just what they do. They just give bad, they just say bad things because they don't understand.
Yeah, they are the most critical. That's what we've found, is that they're like, as a nation, they're the most critical of our music. But it's really funny because we're on a German label as well. So they love us and they hate us.
Yeah, they'll also be one of the most loving crowds as well.
When we played Germany, it was probably the best place.
If you can get a fan base in Germany, you're laughing. Sometimes you don't even need the rest of the world. So
Yeah,
good luck. Sorry to any Germans we may have offended. but literally, that is all you guys do, is offend with your bloody reviews. So, Johnny, thank you so much for doing this. We've enjoyed this very, very much.
We have. And, weird ending, but that's what we live for. That's what we live for. So that's...
Welcome to SAP.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes! Lovely, lovely, lovely stuff.
Quality.
Amazing band, amazing person. As everything unfolds, get them into your ears ASAP, Rocky.
Yes, do it. Their enthusiasm is contagious, and yeah, I loved speaking to them and seeing a new and happy band.
Mm.
That was nice, because... as you might know, if you've listened to quite a few of these episodes, we do get a lot of miserable, jaded bands
miserable
on as well.
Shits, yeah.
Hello, wow. Hosted by one. But yeah, so yeah, it was awesome to see them. They were fucking fantastic. It was super enthusiastic. And yeah, just congratulations to them.
Yeah, no, it's just nice to kind of have that conversation with a band and someone like Charlie, who's so positive anyway, but especially when they're experiencing all these incredible things for the first time. I know we went on about it a little bit, but the fact that they're getting covered over in the States by Alt Press and just loving Germany
it's
and
fucking brilliant.
Like, all this combined is absolutely incredible. And I wish all the best of luck to them. I'm sure they're going to be absolutely killing it for the next few years to come. One of the things she was getting excited and nervous about was not telling us about some tours that were going to be announced, but I can tell you one of them right now, because as everything unfolds, we'll be supporting Holding Absence, our very good friends Holding Absence, around the UK with yours truly, not me. The Australian, the Australian pop punk band we've had on the podcast before.
That. Fuck for that. Imagine that. As everything unfolds, finish, right? Fucking class band, fucking rocking out real hard. And then next minute, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Mr. Morgan Richards. And then you just go up here with an acoustic guitar and everyone's like,
How?
Oh, well, that's killed the vibe then.
Yeah.
That's a fucking, there's a lull in the middle.
It would get everyone so miserable for holding absence. So maybe that's what they need to do. Like, boys, Lucas, if you're listening, give me a shout.
I hope he's not.
No, but as everything unfolds, yours truly and Holden Absence will be touring the UK.
Oh, the band. Yeah,
around October and November. And then as everything unfolds, we'll be supporting Holden Absence in Europe in March as well. So head over to any of the band's websites and social media for all the dates on that. I'm sure they're going to be some fantastic shows. I'm hoping to get down to at least one of the UK ones if they're able to happen. Fingers crossed. And we should also mention as well, Sean, that only the coolest people in the world have been nominated as a finalist in the Heavy Music Awards of 2021. Because not only are we up for Best Podcast, but as yes. Everything Unfolds is up for Best UK Breakthrough Band.
Nice. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I've noticed there are a couple of not just cool people like us and as everything unfolds people like that. There's also some losers that are nominated as well.
Well,
so,
yeah, everyone else that will lose apart from us and everything unfolds when we both take home the trophies and go absolutely wild at the after party. Right?
I like your confidence, but you are fucking bang wrong. Like, as everything unfolds might win, but if we win, I don't even know what to suggest. It's so far away. Like, we are so far away in my mind from winning. Yeah. I can't even suggest something ridiculous for if we do win.
Tell you what, though, I was thinking the other day, maybe I should have a look online for like ridiculous suits. And like if people. And
for what?
Suits. Ridiculous suits.
No. Oh, ridiculous. Oh,
what did
right.
you think?
Wait here now. Right. I don't know if this has happened to anybody else, but rewinder, you can click back 15 seconds. To me, that sounded like Morgan said, let's get some dickless suits. And I was like, what the fuck is a dickless suit?
No.
Does that mean the trousers, right? Literally are so flat that you can't have a crotch? Or is it the crotch is cut out of the trousers, so our dicks are out?
Hey, if it gets us some extra votes.
Right.
If we win,
you said it now, fuckface, right? If we win, we are going to do a promo shoot and Morgan is going to wear a dickless suit. I don't know what a dickless suit is. That's up for you guys to sort out after we win. Please, please visit heavymusicawards.com and vote for us as best podcast. Because I want to now see Morgan Richards pay for a suit, cut the crotch out, and then I want to see his junk dangling out of it.
Oh.
So please, please vote heavymusicawards.com, best podcast. For Sapning Podcast, because we all need to see Morgan Richards and his dickless suit.
Wow. I mean, whatever gets us the trophy at the end of the day. But no, please vote for us. It would mean a lot.
He is willing to get his cock out for the trophy.
I was just thinking of some like flamboyant suits online I could try and find. Like Seth Rollins is wearing WWE at the moment.
There's nothing more flamboyant. than walking around with a fucking cock out.
You've taken it too far. But yes, go to vote.heavymusicawards.com and give us, and as everything unfolds, vote for the Heavy Music Awards 2021. The voting's close on 5 p.m. on the 14th of July, so get them in quickly while you can. And the award show will be in September, so whatever happens, I'm hoping us and as everything unfolds, get a party at least.
Well, yeah. Well, until they see the fucking front of you a suit.
Fuck it.
We're gonna have to moonwalk into the venue. You haven't thought this, like, how do we... Unless we have ridiculous top ads. If we do like a Dumb and Dumber thing where you've got an orange suit, I got a purple one, right?
Yeah.
But of course, now you've promised that you're going to go dickless suit, right?
Yeah.
We could have the top ads and we could kind of hold them over our junk while we're doing, you know, walking into the venue and stuff. And then once we're there, haha, dickless. I can't believe dickless suits.
Oh,
please vote for us. I want to see fucking Morgan's cock and balls now in a weird suit. Please. Please. Even if it's just for me. Even if he has to send me a photo of himself in a dickless suit. Imagine how I'll just laugh for a whole podcast.
Don't say that, because people are going to think we send each other all sorts when we're not recording. We do, but not like that. Anyway, fucking vote for us. It would mean a lot. Thank you again to As Everything Unfolds for coming on. Charlie is an absolute superstar, and you should go and check out all their music and merch and everything like that. But just before we wrap up these mad ramblings, we would like to remind you once again to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapling, to help us make this thing each and every week. Talk some absolute bollocks, and you get a load of different bonuses, extra content, make some new best friends in return as well. But like we have to say at the end of every episode, if you head to the description, there's loads of names there from a patron that we would like to thank. But Sean is going to give you a shout out of the elite members from our Sapling Podcast Patreon community, as well as a special message from one of them.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thank you very much. All of these people, anybody who's involved with our Patreon is fucking wonderful. If you've been involved with our Patreon, you're fucking wonderful. If you're considering it, you're nearly wonderful. Nearly! So fucking do us a favour and get involved now. Thank you so, so much to these people and all of the community. Like he said, check out the description. There's loads of names in here. But special thank you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Dilly, I Wish I Could Speak, Whale Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Scooby Drew Styles, Kelly Irwin, Paul Hirschfield, Liam Connolly, who I was meant to be seeing today, but he got the dates wrong and he's coming to Wales tomorrow, so I probably won't be able to see him. Kat Besant, Sammy G, Amadine Urbano, Shadi Meyer Boxer Anderson, Tony Michael, Full Stop, Captain Hannibal, Murray Grimwood, Amy Campion, Jenny Robertson, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Tom Owen, Dan Gies, Caroline Robertson, Katrina Howard's a Gooch Robinson, still fine. Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Lucy Diaz, Danny Eaton, Emily Senegals, Martina McManus, Becky Handy, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Louis Cook, Sharif Awadali, Marcy Jacobson, Carl Pendlebury, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Craig, I probably did something stupid to download, please don't remind me, Harris, Chris Howard, Ollie Amesbury, Josh, what did the shipmates find in the toilets? The Captain's Log Crisp. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Adam King of the Goss Parcel, Simon Amos, Reese Vought Sapling at Heavy Music Award Bowring, because now we'll get to see Morgan's flaccid cock. Oh, nice, Reese. Thank you very much. Connor Lewins, Keris Andrews, Mark Jones, Amy Chilvers, and last but not least, Jacob Turner. And I have got a very, very special message, and that is for James Bowerbank, who is part of our Patreon. His girlfriend Molly has just finished her PGCE at Southampton Uni, and she got the first job she interviewed for.
Ooh!
So absolutely congratulations on all of that. She smashed that over the pandemic. And James said if it wasn't for her, she wouldn't know about the podcast and ultimately the things we've done. So thank you very much, Molly.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you. Well done. And cheers, James, for reaching out to let us know. So thank you very much to all those people. You're all superstars. Congratulations to Molly. Yeah, please get involved with our Patreon, patreon.com/happening. Let us know your thoughts about past episodes and future guests you'd like to see at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, please do everything Sean just said. Thank you to everyone on our Patreon. Congratulations to Molly. And we'll be back next week and every Friday with a very special guest. And next week's one, if you like stuff and things, you will love episode 137 of Sappening Podcast.
That is the worst way to, if you like stuff. I'm not listening to next week's podcast. Why? Oh, they got someone talking about stuff. You know me, I hate stuff. What do you mean, bro? I don't even know next week's guest is. Who is it? I was trying
to tease it without revealing it, but I can't do it without giving it away, so I just thought I'd...
Well, who is it? Mouth it to me.
I'll tell you what.
Mouth it to me now. Oh, yeah. It's a good one. It is a good one, yeah. He is right. You should check out next week's episode, because if you like things... and stuff. Fucking hell, what a podcast. Morg, let's go. We've gone on too long and we've gone mad. We've gone fucking mad now.
Yeah, it's true. I need to go shopping as well for a suit. So let's go.
Right. Get some fucking scissors, tiny scissors as well.
Sapnin!
Gonna have cocks out of the awards, like.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.